Tonight we are going to look at, first of all, we looked at grace, then we looked at mercy, being an attribute of God, and tonight we're going to look at love as an attribute of God. And of course, there's only one verse we can use to start that, and that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Question. Can you love someone whom you have never met and don't know? And the answer is, no, you can't. Most of the world's people don't know God, and they don't know, and they know very little, if anything, about him. For you and me, it's different because God loved us and called us to come to him, and we responded in a positive way, and we've come to love him because he first loved us. We have looked at God's grace and his mercy. Now we're going to look at his love for us and at as the motive for his grace and mercy being a part of our lives. The most famous verse in the Bible is our opening verse, John 3:16. Love is demonstrated by giving. And God definitely proved his love for us by sending his son Jesus to die for us. Jesus had something to say about the Father loving us. He says it in John 16:27. John 16:27 says, "For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God." Our love for Jesus is the reason that God loves us. With mankind, love is something that grows, and we love God more the longer and the better we know him. As a result of God loving us and telling us about his Son, the Lord Jesus, we've come to love Jesus as our Savior. Loving Jesus as our Savior causes God to love us even more. God's love is represented in many ways. Most of those ways involve Jesus and his relationship to God. Yes, God does love us, but Jesus loves us too. The Apostle Paul tells us that in all of his epistles, every epistle that Paul writes, he talks about God's love and Jesus' love. Ephesians 5:2, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Paul explains this and gives us reason for this. Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And God did that. Jesus did that. That should move us. That should affect us emotionally. Because the apostles spent 3 years with Jesus in the desert in Saudi Arabia, Paul saw his love. And he wrote about it in various epistles. Our love is of little consequence, but God's love is everything to each of us. 1 John 4:10 tells us, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. As a result of God loving us, we in turn to love each other. John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And that was one of the things I was talking about this morning, is the fact that love needs to be our motivating force. But I started off with a question tonight. Can we love someone we don't know? Yes?
I would think that a woman who is expecting a baby could love that child before without really knowing it.
But that's a different thing. That's a part of her. She is the one who is growing that baby within herself. And yes, I would expect a mother to love a baby before it was born, and love it even more after it was born because of all that they had to go through to birth that baby. So that would be understandable. But there's a lot of people out there, right? People you see every day, people who drive by every morning, drive by every night going home. Can we love them, or do we love them?
We're supposed to.
When we don't know them.
I think people can. I don't think people do all the way. But you got missionaries who leave here going to overseas somewhere. They don't know those people.
Yeah.
And they feel enough love for them that they can go over there and risk their own life for them. It's maybe not the same kind of love that I have for everybody in this room, or for a mate, or for a good friend, but it's still a form of love.
God, with a missionary, God calls them to that field. And when he calls them, he puts a love in our hearts, just like the Holy Spirit puts a love in our hearts for people, especially those who are born again. We love Christians everywhere. The two ladies who came this morning from West Africa, they came to worship and to pray. They were looking for a place where they could love God. The language was a problem. It's going to be a problem for a while. But as they come to know us, and as we come to know them, we're going to love them for the Lord. But a person we don't know, when you've got somebody standing out there with a cardboard sign on a street corner, you don't know that person.
Well, you didn't say do we love all of them, but you say, can we love one? Well, I think we can love one.
That is a question that I really asked myself, and I looked to God to give me an answer. And if you don't know a person, you can't love that person. Oh, you can know the situation that person is in, but as far as actually loving that person, it's pretty hard to do. It really is. We get to know people, and then we come to love them, because we do know them. And sometimes God puts a knowledge in our heart, or he puts a love in our hearts for people that we don't know in a church, but they are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have a connection. And the connection is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no connection with a lot of these folks that we might see pass by. So, Paul, in spending 3 years with Jesus, same time that the apostles spent with Jesus, Paul came to love him and to know him. There's a special love that God has for the person that accepts Jesus as Savior. God loved you enough to send his Son to die for your sins. God knew you before he did that. We are told God knew us before the foundation of the world. Each one of us. I don't understand it. I just know it says it. And I believe it. Because that's what the Bible says. And there are so many things to show us that he does love us.
Pastor.
What? Yes.
I have a question. This is pertaining to love. It says, in the Bible it says, I don't know the exact script, it says, love your neighbor as yourself.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes, we have to love our neighbor as ourselves.
You mean that not know our neighbor? We still, it says in the Bible, love your neighbor. So how can you say we can't love a stranger?
We're to show love to our neighbor. How do you show love?
Representing and talking, you introducing yourself, and then
No, that's not how you show love.
Present the gospel, give them the gospel track.
Love is giving. That's how you show love. You show love by giving. That's how we have to initiate any love. We give ourselves, we give our time, we give our talents, and sometimes we even give our monetary support to people. And that's how we love them. You cannot love someone without giving. When it talks about God, the opening verse, for God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave. That's the very next word. He gave. And so if you love someone, you're going to give part of yourself to them. And depending on how you love them and how much you love them, it will depend on how much of yourself you give to them. A lot of churches you can go into and they say, oh, we love all the brothers and sisters, but nobody speaks to you. Nobody cares about you. Nobody says, well, I'm going to pray for you. And all of those things are a means of us giving to those people that we're trying to love, that we're trying to demonstrate love. And to demonstrate love, we have to give. What do you do for your loved one? You give them.
Yeah.
And without that giving, there is no demonstration of love. God demonstrated his love for us in giving the most precious thing that he had, and that was his son. That was actually, and again, we don't, I can't get into this right now, but he gave of himself, because that son was God. He also gave us the Holy Spirit. The moment that we believed, he gave us the Holy Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. And so God gives us because of his love. We don't know that person at Walmart who's got the sign there standing in the bushes out by the road.
I don't know that person over there that we're giving rice money for the rice to either. But I love those people enough to send the money for the rice so that I'm giving. I don't have to know them personally.
No, but love has to be the motivating force.
Well, if I didn't love them and the missionaries that are doing what they're doing, I wouldn't give.
A lot of people will do it because they feel like they're obligated to do it.
Well, I'm not obligated.
Okay, all right. When we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told by John that that causes God to love us more. Now, he loves us. He loves everyone who's ever been created here in this world or been born into this world. As a proof of his love, we have the two verses in Romans 1, 19 and 20 that God puts within us. A knowledge of himself. He is already giving us something to prove he loves us. But men deny that. There's a special love that God has for the person that accepts Jesus as their Savior. God loved you enough to send his Son to die for your sins. But once we believed in Jesus, God's love becomes something special. to all of us. We have Jesus' word on that. Jesus told his disciples about it in John 16, 25 through 27. This was Jesus talking to his disciples in John 16, 25 through 27. Jesus told them, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God." So there is a time when Jesus says, "I won't have to pray for you anymore." There is a time that we will love God and we will have a connection to God. We have that right now. You have the Holy Spirit within you. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's God. He is living within you. And we can look to God for everything that we need, everything that He wants to give us. So the thing that makes this church different from a grocery store or a gas station is the love of God in the hearts of the people. That makes us different. And that love is not there naturally. That love is put there by the Holy Spirit who has indwelled us. It's placed there by the Holy Spirit in every born-again soul. God's love is put within us, not for us, not for our benefit, but so that we can reach out to others with that love and minister to them. Why don't we tell everybody we run into about the Lord Jesus Christ? Life gets in the way. We've got our own activities we're thinking about. We have our own things that we're trying to take care of. We have needs. We have appetites. We have desires. And so we're not always thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we may a lot of the time, but there are times when we don't think about Him. We think about ourselves. Why is that? We love ourselves. We do. A baby loves itself. When it's born and it's hungry, what does it do? It makes noise. Until it gets what it wants. Then it'll be quiet again. And we grow up that way. When we want something, we make noise. And we become adults. If we become adults without the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have the love, that kind of love, love for God, love for other people. We have love for self. And so, we need to understand how the love of God works. The Holy Spirit places God's love within our hearts. I pray that the visitor or the stranger coming in from outside of this church will sense the difference between this church and other churches. I've had people tell me, when I came to this church, it was different. And I hope it is. Other churches may have some big congregations, but it's the love of God going on in those congregations. And I talked to one of the nurses who was caring for me when I was in the hospital, and she goes to Faith over on the expressway on 26. And she says, "I sit at the back. No one sees me. No one talks to me. Mm-hmm. And I leave, and I've been to church. I don't want that kind of a church here. And God doesn't want that kind of a church here, I don't believe. He wants us to love the people who come here. And we're seeing Him send us some folks. Now we need to love them. And they need to feel like we love them. So, Jesus, through the Word of God, tells us, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Now, the Epistle to the Romans is a famous book, fabulous book, in fact. It tells us so much about how to please God and how God wants to work in our lives. Chapter 5, verse 3 through 5, describes how life works in the life of the Christian. And I want to read those verses because they are important. Romans 5, 3 through 5 tell us, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh experience." Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience maketh not ashamed, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And there you have the mystery of God that the world can't know because they don't know God. We know God, and so we know these things are going to come to pass. Just please don't pray for patience.
Amen.
We've all got enough tribulation. Okay. I would like to think about God and us. God is so much more than we are. In a way of power, eternality, knowledge, omnipresence, ability, and control, that you and I are not able to comprehend Him. We do not understand who He really is. He's so much greater than we are, that we humanize Him so we can relate our own minds to His love for us. What I'm saying is that we all have difficulty appraising God's purpose and ability to fulfill that purpose. Nothing is impossible with God. We all know that. We've read about it in the Word. But we cannot comprehend that concept because we all have limitations, all of us. We are not omnipotent. We are not omniscient. We are not, definitely not, omnipresent. We are here occupying just one space. And so, we will have difficulty appraising what God's purpose might be for us. We can't comprehend the concept that God can do everything and anything. We can try and we can visualize in our own minds who He is, but we can't possibly know the enormous truth of God. People have gone insane trying to comprehend the Trinity. That cannot be explained. There's no way any of us can explain the Trinity, and yet we know it's real because we know each person of the Trinity. We know the Father. We know the Son. The Holy Spirit lives within us. The Trinity. But explain it. How these are three individual personalities, how it works. So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Years ago, I worked for a man. This man could be in the office. He could be on two telephones at the same time, carrying on two completely different conversations. And at the same time, he was observing everything that was going on in that office. He knew what everybody was doing. He could multitask like you wouldn't believe. The man was a wicked man. He wasn't saved. But I've actually seen him. Two conversations, one about maybe brass for a fire department and another for about a car or something. And he would talk to two people at the same time. And he knew what was going on in that office. I used to be able to multitask. Some of you could too. But as we get older, we lose that ability because our mind just doesn't work like it used to. We're having trouble with recalling words right now and things, okay? Recalling names, recalling, you know, well, I was just, what was I just thinking about? You know, like, why did I come into the kitchen? You know, that type of thing. But as I got older, that ability went away. Some of you may be able to handle three or four things at one time. Now think about God. Think about God. We're talking about handling three or four things at one time. God handles over 5 billion things at once. Over 5 billion things at once, and each one of those things has a soul. We are very intimate with God. We pray to Him and we think, you know, this is important for me to talk to God. He's going to listen to me. He's going to give me an answer. There are 5 billion people, some of them praying to God. How many Christians are there in the world right now? How many of them are praying? Michael Privet asked us to pray for he and Sherry. He sent that text probably to several of the churches that support him. And so prayers are being offered up by the hundreds. And God is able to take care of that. Can you imagine if God could not multitask for you? Why would you ever pray? We know God hears our prayers because God answers them. So God handles over 5 billion things at a time. Can any of you come close to that? Some of us have difficulty with two things at a time. And like I said, each one of those 5 billion things have a soul. And God does not want that soul to go to hell. Where Michael Privet is right now in India, he and Sherry, their souls. They're trying to teach the pastors how to communicate better with those people, to share with them the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have things that we pray about, and God answers those prayers for us in the way He knows is best, in accordance with His Word and His will. You're just one person. How many people do you think are praying to Him at the same time that you pray?
A lot of people.
Think about it.
A lot of people.
He hears them all. And God answers your prayers, and He answers my prayers, and the prayers of the missionary in Thailand. You want to stop praying because you think God can't keep track of the petitions. I don't plan to quit. It's prayer that has gotten me to the place where I am right now. It's prayer that's gotten you to the place you are right now. And just think about who our God is. But let's go back to His love for us. We're studying the 8th chapter of Romans in Sunday school. And I don't want to infringe upon Bobby's work and teaching, but there are some verses that in that chapter that reflect upon God's love. And I want us to look at those two verses. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. Again, this is Paul writing to the Roman church, the church who would eventually cut off his head. He talked about love. He loved that church. And he says this in Romans 8, 38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You think about that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from Christ. That's why we say, once saved, always saved. That's why we teach that. That's one of our doctrines as a Baptist church. Nothing can separate us from that. Once we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are saved forever. Now these are powerful verses pertaining to God's love. These verses put ultimate power upon God's love for us and everyone else in this world. There is nothing that any mortal creature can do to separate us from the love of God. I've heard certain people say, God doesn't love me. And actually, I think at that point they believe it. But they're so disgusted with themselves and with their lives that they don't see how anybody could love them. They don't have love for anyone else either. Not for themselves or anybody else. What a sad description or deception the devil has imposed upon them. No one here this evening should think that about themselves, because it's not true. God loves every one of you. And He has demonstrated that to you in many different ways over the years. But the devil has deceived some. And those are the ones we need to go after, folks. Those are the ones we need to convince that God loves them. Not just in word, but God loves them in deed and the way He provides for them. We have God's word that informs us of the truth. 1 John 4, 7-9 says, Beloved, starts off with the right word, beloved, let us love one another, for God is, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. That's proof, folks. That's real proof. There's an advertisement on the television for life insurance. And it makes an interesting statement. The first time I heard it, I did a double take. It says in it to the effect that if you are alive, you should be interested in the advertisement. And if you're not living, you can just ignore it. It gets pretty much to the heart of things, doesn't it? God's love is the same way. If you're living, you're experiencing the love of God in your life. And it's God's love that gives you life. God sent Jesus to make eternal life available to you. If you believe upon what he did for you on Calvary. It's hard to love God who we've never seen physically, yet we've seen his love toward us manifested in so many different ways. We need to keep in mind that love is demonstrated by giving. We said that earlier. And so God's greatest gift demonstrates his love for us, each one of us. Our opening verse told us in John 3:16. I want to add a verse to that, 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you ever tried to witness to somebody and they say, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about Jesus. Yeah. Why are we talking about? Because God wants them to be saved. Isn't it strange how the world looks at Jesus? They're dead, guilty souls. Think that Jesus is here to condemn them for the ugly things that they have done. They think that Jesus is here to condemn them for the ugly things that they have done. And in verse 17 just told us that's not why he's here. They don't know what the Bible says about God's motive in sending Jesus to die. When we approach a lost person to witness to them about the love of God, they accuse us of judging them. They don't realize that they're the ones doing the judging and that we are trying to share the love of God with them. Why would a person reject God's love when it comes from someone who has no ulterior motive? Why would a person reject love when it comes from a person, God, with no ulterior motive? Could they think themselves unworthy of love because of how they've lived? I know that we have forgiveness of sin. I know God has forgiven us. And it is a matter of he forgave before we ever accepted Jesus. He knew we would accept him. So he forgave us our sin. But I look at the sin that he forgave, and there was so much of it. Oh, so very much of it, a lifetime of it. And yet God loves us in spite of all that. And there will be a day when we will be before his throne with our loved ones. And he's going to love us. We should be out in the world attempting to share the love of God, because we are told to do that by God. Our love for others especially the lost, is evidence of our salvation and our relationship to God. We just read these verses from 1 John 4. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And there is the truth of God's love demonstrated in the first of these verses, and a dire warning in the second verse. If you don't love lost people enough to get out there where they are and try to tell them about Jesus' love or God's love, then you need to do a heart check. Because love is the force that God has placed in our hearts through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's not natural for us, but it is there. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" This is not the only place we're told about the work of the Spirit in us. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." These two verses are given to us by God as a motivation for telling others about how wonderful it is to be loved and cared for by Heavenly Father. That is glorifying God. That's glorifying to God. And it may result in someone who is lost coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. When a baby is born into this world, that baby learns to love itself. As I said earlier, it cries to be fed when it's hungry, and it doesn't care what time it is or what mother was doing before that. It wants to be fed then. And it gets more self-centered the older it gets. When, as a lost soul, it learns about Jesus, things change. We're told that we become new creations in Jesus, that all things become new, including a new love for the people around us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So let's exercise that newness wherever we go. And I can assure you that your heart has the capacity to love as many people as God will put in your path. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for demonstrating that love by giving to us life, the things of life, the necessities, the things that are desires beyond necessities. Father, thank you for loving us and putting us where you have placed us. Now, Father, use us. Use us every day and help us to love others like you do. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do. because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.